Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Mansfield Christian Church. We're happy to have you here to worship with us this morning. It's really a blessing. We're happy that Dylan's able to come join us this week. He traveled in from Texas to do a seminar this weekend at Ozark, and he's got a meeting on Tuesday at 10 for a trip coming up. So we're happy I got to spend a couple of days with him this weekend, which has really been a blessing. It's always fun to get to meet up and chat with friends that you don't get to see all the time. So that's really been a blessing for me. So if you guys were not here last week, and I think most of you were, some people sick, and some people are still out for sick, are still out and sick, so pray for them. But we've started on this series of teaching through the parables of Jesus. And last week, we kind of set this series up. The aim of this series is that now that we spent a lot of time discussing how to live as a church, how the church should function, now I think it's important that we look at how us as individual Christians within the collective body should live to bring glory to God. And so this is where we're going to be for the next few weeks. Obviously, we'll take a break coming up for Easter. I'll preach an Easter Sunday message dedicated for that. But this is where we're going to be for the foreseeable future, walking through these parables. Last week was the kickoff for the sermon series, and we actually talked about the parable of the sower, which is one of my favorite parables of Jesus. I love it. And as I was this whole message was really just kind of looking at the different heart postures of those who follow God. Maybe some that are open and receiving, others that are exhibiting the will of God, and some that really are just have hardened hearts and don't really show what God has done for them. And I was reflecting on that message this week, praying. I oftentimes try to go back and listen to my sermon from the previous week, say, you know, hey, I really missed it right here. I could be a little better here. And I was really reflecting on that and just thinking about, man, I really have a long way to go to really exhibit that fully. But the good news is we all have grace. So, man, what a blessing that is. Well, this morning, I want to kind of build on what we talked about last week by looking at another parable that I believe points to a core characteristic of someone who is living the Christian life and doing it well. Don always tells me he loves sermons that are on the Christian life because he doesn't get to hear enough of them. And so, Don, I'm going to give you sermons about the Christian life for like the next 8 weeks. So be excited back there in the sound booth. But before we get to the scripture, I want to give you some context on where we're going to be because I think it's important. This section of Luke 6:46 is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. Now, you might hear that and automatically think about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. And they're very similar. They're very similar messages. But there's a few key characteristics that make them different. And the first is that they were at different times. Jesus is preaching this at completely different times. And Luke's gospel, it's right after the 12 had been selected. Jesus comes down from a mountain and preaches this message. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is already in his full-fledged ministry. He's already been doing ministry full-time. And so that's a key difference between the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount. The second is that the Sermon on the Mount was primarily to a Jewish audience. So they would have understood Jewish tradition, Jewish customs, Jewish laws, while the Sermon on the Plain that we're going to look at in Luke's Gospel is primarily to a Gentile audience, meaning that they will not have a complete understanding of all of the Jewish laws and rules. And I think that's helpful to know as we read the text this morning. We can look at it as the hearers that would have been Gentiles would have heard it. So beginning in Luke 6, beginning in verse 46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house, that house, and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." The ruin of the house was great. Notice that in this text we get two different people who have decided to both build a house. They both perform the same action, just in two different ways. The first man digs deep and lays the foundation into the rock. These are the people who hear what Jesus says and do what he asks. See, this guy exhibits several characteristics. He's wise. Has a strong foundation for his house. Notice, though, something that I didn't notice until I was studying some commentaries. Notice that the act of building this house took time. Like, it's not something that you can just slap up in a matter of minutes. Not something that can just be kind of a cookie-cutter thing put together. It takes time when you have to dig into the rock to put that foundation. Notice also that when you begin to dig rock, it begins to transform the ground around where you're building. It might have had a shape at one point, but then as you dig, as you break up the rock to put this foundation, the whole landscape begins to change. It's not the same as it was before. Luke says he had to dig deep as to place his foundation on a firm place, on a firm rock. Second, we get the man who built a house on the ground with no foundation. These are the people that hear the teachings of Jesus and do nothing with them. Notice that the house is perfectly fine until a storm comes. It'll hold up in a light storm, maybe a hail storm in the Midwest, maybe some light winds. It'll be fine. It may receive a little damage, a couple chinks in the armor, but it'll still be standing. But eventually, when a strong storm comes, it will fall. It will collapse. Jesus says that this house was a total loss when translated from the Greek. Not just a partial loss. He lost a few things. It says that the house was a total loss. Everything the guy owned, including his house, was gone, completely wiped away. I was thinking about this because I have a lot of friends growing up in the Midwest that get tornadoes all the time. And they have insurance, and some friends that have a trailer, and a couple of years ago, their house trailers don't have a foundation, right? They're just built on top of the ground. And that tornado came and picked up that their trailer, and it landed about 25 miles from where it had been picked up. It was an EF4 tornado that ripped through close to where I grew up. And that's the image that we're getting here, right? That when the storm comes, if there's no foundation, the storm will pick it up and throw you off course. There's something that's not mentioned here in the text that I think is really important. And it's this idea that Jesus, just following Jesus' teaching is not enough. He says, follow my teaching, right? But I think to truly follow his teaching, you need to open yourself up and exhibit the love for him in your heart. I can't think of a better way to kind of point this out, illustrate this, than when I was in basic or 18 years old. A lot of you know, probably have heard me tell about these types of stories, but when I was 18 years old, I had just graduated high school and trying to figure out what to do with my life. And, you know, I was looked much like I do today, you know, maybe a little less facial hair, a little younger. But I decided that I was going to join the United States Army. And when I joined the Army, it's kind of like a really kind of crazy experience. I was kind of a wild kid. I've told Wayne some fun stories from when I was a kid doing some crazy stuff. We've had some good chuckles about that. But one thing you should know about me in that time of my life is I didn't like rules. I didn't want rules. I didn't want to follow the rules. And so as you can imagine, a Midwest farm kid that hates rules going to basic training where everything is about the rules, I did not have a good time. At least for the first couple of weeks. See, in basic training, the rules, the laws are everything. See, what their purpose is to begin to break down who you are so that the Army values can become your identity as a person. They begin to break down who you are so the Army values can become your identity as a person. You see, I think this is what Jesus is really attempting to say in this parable. That when you follow his teachings, they begin to break down who you are so Jesus can shine through you as a person. See, I think another thing Jesus is trying to say, I'll illustrate it this way. If you only follow the rules of Jesus, you're missing the value of the transformation that takes place when you begin to truly follow him. Jesus gives us a clear example of what simply just following the rules does. He talks to the Pharisees at the end of the parable on the Mount, and what does he say? He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." What's crazy is, if you don't know much about the Pharisees, they were religious leaders in Jesus' day. They were doing a lot of the things that churches do today. They were serving the widows and the orphans. They gave the first 10% to God. They fasted and prayed rigorously. They were great at following the rules. But they had no relationship with God because the rules seemingly became their God. They were so legalistic in nature that when Jesus, the Savior of the world, is standing in front of them, the Messiah that they had been waiting on for so long is standing right in front of them, they sent him to a cross to die. And Jesus' response to these people is, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites." So the question to answer this morning is, are we a people so concerned with the rules and laws of Scripture that we miss the relationship altogether? Are we a group that Jesus would look at and say, wow, you guys get it? Are we a group that Jesus would say, look at and say, woe to you, hypocrite? I want my relationship and faith to be so strong that I can look in the eyes of the enemy when he comes and say, bring whatever you have because my God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God will deliver me in this moment. Because, church, a house with no foundation will crumble when the storms of life come. See, the second guy's house could be built with anything. It could look like a multi-million dollar home. It could have all these fancy siding, all this fancy decoration. It could have all of the perfect lawn ornaments, whatever, amazing landscape. As you drive by, you think, man, that guy is really put together. He has all of this stuff. But all it took was one storm, and it was all gone. Such a tragic thing to think about, that I know people in my life that are like the second guy. And I think our call, since we know that the key is not only following the rules, but following the relationship, is to share that message with other people. And that's probably going to be a difficult thing for some of you. It's going to be a difficult thing for me, certainly, to share it with people that I'm close with. But I think that's critical. See, when we have a firm foundation, we know that the enemy can't blow our house down because it is the house of our God. We're temples of the Holy Spirit, as Paul tells us. We're a residing, a dwelling place for the Spirit of our God. And that will protect us in any storm. Stronger than any shelter. It's the place that we need to be. But that is possible only if Jesus is at the center of your heart. It's not possible by you doing a bunch of works. Not possible by you tithing or praying daily or helping out with widows or orphans or going and volunteering on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. Those things don't get you anywhere unless you have Jesus at the center of your heart. And so my prayer for you this week as we go about our ways is that you will evaluate that message. Think about the ways that you live your life. Is Jesus at the center of your heart? Are you doing these things because Jesus told you to? Because, church, I don't want to be in a place where judgment day comes and Jesus says, woe to you, hypocrite. I want Jesus to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's the place I hope all of you will be as well. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word, to bring the spotlight on the relationship that we get with your son, the opportunity to have that relationship with your son. As we go about our ways this week, help that message to be the center of everything we do. And the identity of our lives. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made, sending your son to the cross for us, so that one day we can join you in heaven and rejoice when that day comes. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.